of the Lord and to answer and to see the works of his hands. You were meant to survive. Let me say to some of you, life sometimes will hit you in the most unexpected times, but the Lord is with you through them all. You're not just barely surviving, you're fully surviving because of Jesus. We have been studying the book of James, and I would like to give you, we're going to use these as illustration. I hope everyone can see them, but we're going to open up our scriptural text to James, and we're going to read again a verse that I think we have not yet milked completely. If you would go to James chapter 1, verse 12. By the way, didn't we have a great preacher last week in Brian? Amen. He did a great job preaching last week. We're going to have some more of our young ministers ministering to you. It's very important that you understand that every person in this room is going to get tried by life. Life is going to keep rolling. It's not going to stop. It's not going to be easy. But I need to caution many of you in the room, and I need you to listen to me very clearly. When it gets tough, the tough get going. But you stay where you are. Do you understand what I mean? When life gets tough, it will hit you, it will split you, it will try to tell you to stop, it will convince you that there's nobody for you, it will try to claim your body is no good, it will say you're of no good to the church, no good to your job, no good to your husband, no good to your wife, your dog don't even like you, your goldfish would rather jump out of the tank. It'll tell you crazy stuff, but it's a lie. We are looking at illusions. What is an illusion? An illusion is something that appears real, but it's fake. Every single thing that you go through in your life is nothing more than an illusion waiting for God to reveal the truth. That's what you've got to know. When it gets tough and it gets hard and you're ready to quit, just stop. And say, you know what? What I'm looking at, what I'm feeling right now, it's an illusion. It isn't the real thing. No. My whole life didn't just disappear. It's an illusion. And when God comes through and he reveals that all you ever had has just been improved, then you understand that all of that was just a trick to get you to quit. You cannot quit. Turn to your neighbor and say, you can't quit. What we've been preaching over these series is sometimes I wonder if everyone's got it because we say it, but unless you take what I say and apply it when you walk out, it's almost like Sunday, you're on top of the world, and by Monday, you're digging your own grave. You've got to decide to throw away your shovel. Oh, you didn't hear what I just said. Some of you, nobody has to kill you. You dig your own grave. And you say, man, that was Sunday. I felt good Sunday, but I might as well go back into my grave. You ain't no vampire. Look at your neighbor and say, you belong in the light. You have to hold on to this word of truth because God set up a Sunday for you to hear the full counsel of God so that you could take it and make it through the next Sunday so you could help somebody on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. God's trying to let you know, don't stop, but lift up your hands and praise him when it looks like all else has fallen apart. Do something the enemy didn't think you would do. Oh, you took my money. I'm going to shout, God, I thank you. My bank is full. Thank you, Lord. You've done it again. My God, you're going to provide a way. Hallelujah. The devil's going to be like, what in the world is wrong with this fool? Well, I just, every time I touch their money, they cry, they whine, they begin to fight their mate. But right now, they're shouting, they're singing, they're jumping. Something's wrong. Maybe they know something I don't know. And you may not know nothing more than what God said. I will provide all things according to my riches in glory by Christ Jesus. All you need is a word. How many know if I can just get a word from God? How many of you need a word from God today? I mean, God, just give me something. God told me to tell somebody, yes, your marriage is going to work. Yes, you're not gonna, it's not going to end in divorce. It will survive. God told me to tell somebody else, no, cancer is not going to get you like it did the rest of your family. No. It isn't. I just can tell you what I tell you. No, I have to tell somebody else. God said, no, you're not supposed to leave and go out of state. You know who I'm talking to. Oh, I feel like leaving. I don't want to be here in Leesburg. I don't want to be here no more. I'm about to hush your mouth and grow where you're planted. Hello. Sometimes you got to grow where you're planted. I've never seen a tree moving down the highway. Just dropping oranges, plop, plop. No, a tree grows where it's planted. And sometimes you may not like where you're planted, but that's why God put you there, so nothing else can come and take all your fruit off your life, and you can begin to grow and prosper and get a nice root and get a nice trunk and get some nice branches and get some nice fruit on your life before they decide. God says, now it's time to prune the tree. You better be glad God didn't move you. You need to be stuck where you are until you're stronger than you are. Hello, somebody. I know I got a message to preach. Here we go. Here we go. James 1 and 12. Let's read it together. Is it on the screen? Obviously not. All right. Let's see. Is it on the screen now? I'm not turning around. Go. Wait a minute now. Go back. Who what? Patiently endure. Okay, hold on a second. You mean there's some of you that are being tested and tempted? Impossible. If you feel like at all you are in one of these categories of being tested or tempted, can I just see a show of hands? So look around, look around. That's a lot of people. Now, I want to tell you the benefit is blesses God. Blesses those who impatiently endure. What does it mean to patiently endure? That means you don't scream and cry and kick and punch while you're going through temptation. You don't blame, you don't poke people's eyes out, you don't slash people's tires. You don't put something in their cake. You have to hold on, because it doesn't. When God is literally taking you through, and He's bringing you through your testing and temptation, and it ain't coming from Him. But if you can patiently wait on God, let Him turn it around. It can never be turned back the other way. There's something about when God touches your stuff, when God intervenes in your life, that, man, it changes your entire world. I remember years ago that my first encounter with God was I had gotten saved, and I was living saved. They told me all I had to do was go to the front and give my life to Christ, and that's all I did. And I went back and told my friends, hey, I gave my life to Jesus. And all my friends like, hey, yeah, we did too. And I'm like, oh, so you mean we could live this like this wretched life and still be saved? Yeah, man, let's go get something to drink. I'm like, man, I would have done this years ago. And I remember being a worse sinner than I ever was before. And about 3 months into my chaos, I was laying on my bed in Lake Avenue in Tallahassee, Florida, and I had a vision. And in that vision, the Lord came to my campus. And when he came to my campus, all of a sudden the earth was full of his presence, full of it. And everybody around me began to drop on their knees and began to worship him and confess their sins. I mean, whether you were agnostic, whether you were atheist, whether it didn't matter your background. I don't care if you said there was no God. At that moment, everybody knew game is up. God is here. And everyone's weeping and crying and weeping and crying. And I'm standing around going, oh, Lord, what? Maybe I need to do what they're doing. Maybe I need to get on my knees and confess my sins. As I went to bend down, a hand came up out of a cloud, grabbed me by the back of my shirt, held me over the FAMU's campus, and said, and now while he's holding me in the air, these rocks are coming out of the sky. Like, I mean, they look like, the best way to describe it is brimstone rocks, full of fire and hitting the earth and people going up in flames. And it was horrible. And he said, Stephen, because you said you wouldn't wait to the end to get your life together, but because you knew and did not, you must suffer the same consequences. And he flicked me right into the flames. Well, as soon as I hit them flames, I woke up, and I'm like, and I heard the voice of the Lord speak to me as clear as day. He said these words, Stephen, you don't know me. I had given my life to Christ, but I had never opened up his word. He said, Stephen, you don't know me. There are many of you out here born again, saved and sanctified, and yet you don't know him. What a predicament to be born again and yet not know his will, not know what he desires of your life. And here I am, I'm like, God, I don't know you. And I'm hearing this voice for the first time. And he says, Steve, you don't know me. He said, read my word. I want you to repeat after me. Read. No, y'all say it like y'all are just saying it. Say it like God would have said it to a man like me. Go.
Read my word.
That's it. Closer. Say it again.
Read my
word. Now, say it to your neighbor. You won't know him unless you read his word. And I remember picking up my little Bible, and I had that little blue Bible, and it had these little thin pages. And I said, and I opened that thing, and I always say it sounded like potato chips, because I never open it, right? Never read the word in my life. But I was saved. Anyway. So I opened up the Bible, and I said, God, these pages are too thin. These words are too small, and this book is too thick. But if you'll help me, I'll read every word. And from that moment on, he gave me a passion to read his word. And sometimes when we don't understand that God is desiring us to go deeper in him, we can then treat him like he's not paying attention. How many know that God is watching your life all the time? You know, we've watched on television where we think, okay, St. Peter at the great gate, he's going to be at the gate, and I'm going to get up to St. Peter and be like, all right, Pete, how you doing? How you doing, Steve? Hey, okay, now I wrote down all that I'm good at and all that I've done and the reason why I get to get in, so let me read my list. That ain't how it's going to work. See, to assume Peter got to go over what you did is to assume that God wasn't watching you all the time. God never takes his eyes off of your life. Everything, every idle word is recorded, he says. Every action is recorded in his book of works. There is not a moment in your life he doesn't know about. So there is no conversation when you die. It is either heaven or some hot soup. Ladies and gentlemen, but we can get complacent in our lives. I want to ask a young man to come up. He had an experience this week that shows me, you know, if I were you, I would seek the Lord with all my heart. Because none of us know what time we've got. Tell me a little bit about what you came to know. What happened to you?
I've been walking with the Lord for almost 4 years now. And I prayed to the Lord and I asked him, God, why is this even really important for me to continue to walk with you, God? And, you know, if you look at my life, you might not think that about me, but I prayed for him to show me and give me a reason why I should continue to pursue you, why I should continue to follow you. And I went into my room and my daughter was laying on my bed. And you know when you're in a worship service and you feel God's presence, you feel the presence of God. It was just like the presence of God magnified by that times 100. And I just knew in that moment, I knew that it was his righteousness. It was God's holiness. And in that second, all I could do was begin to weep and beg God to have mercy, to forgive me, because all I could feel was my sinfulness and his righteousness. And it's going to be like that for every one of us when we stand before God. And all I could do was cry and just plead for God. Please, God, have mercy on my soul, Lord. And God showed me the importance of repentance and the importance for us. Because he said in his word, he said, depart from me, for I never knew you. So we must know him and we must get inside his word. That's important.
Isn't that awesome? Now, that experience is coming from Philippians chapter 2, where he says, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and confess that Christ is Lord. It doesn't matter where you think you are today, it will take place. But if you don't acknowledge truth now, it'll be very hard when you see him then. Hello, somebody. So I want to encourage you that you take up the banner. Now, you say, well, Pastor Steve, that's not very good news. Listen, let me tell you how easy this is. We read, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. What's the next verse? What's the next verse say? And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he doesn't tempt anyone else. So take God off your blame game. Okay? When you're going through something, just don't even go there. Say it with me. Don't even go there. God isn't your problem. He's your solution. The enemy will come and tempt you. But I need you to understand something about your foundation. We're going to go to... I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7, and we're going to start there. And you may see I have some illustrations here. Illustrations. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting at verse 7, New Living Translation. Okay. Now, let me give you context. Context determines meaning. What was happening was that the church was experiencing splitting. We had some people in the church who liked certain people more than other people in the church. They liked this leader better than that leader. They liked that speaker better than that speaker. They like this person better than that person. And so what ended up happening is the church began to form cliques and groups. And the church began to come into these little circles. And all of a sudden, the church is no longer unified. It's beginning to split by nature of what people think is what they like. Oh, I like the way he preaches. He brings it home. I like the way she preaches because, man, she's just intellectual. I like how he preaches. It's funny. And everybody kept looking as if one is better than the other. Let me warn you as a church people, when you're in church and you have a leader, leaders come and go. If you get caught on the leader, you'll go when the leader leaves. You've got to get caught on the vision that God made for the church that you joined. Our vision is to create one of the largest multicultural churches that reaches the lost, serves its community, and experiences the presence of God together in unity. I don't know anybody that wouldn't love to experience the presence of God in unity. Now, people come and go, and he can prune off our tree as much as he wants. I don't hold on to people. But if you hold on to people, you're going to get mad when another person takes their place. You're going to get mad when they're not like you liked it before, when they don't talk like that, and you don't walk like that. And you see it in church all the time. I like this preacher, that preacher, that preacher. God says, foolishness. Foolishness. Why? Because he made them all. Look what it says. Paul says, it's not important who does the planting, the one that sows the seed, or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. At the end of the day, it's all about God. You can have all kind of preachers planting seeds. You can have all kind of preachers watering seeds. But if God doesn't say grow, it ain't going to happen. Look at verse 4. Watch this. Read it together. Next. I'm a Paul. Now, if you knew anything about Paul, Paul was an intellectual teacher, but he was boring. Most people don't realize that. Paul would put you to sleep. In fact, in the book of Acts, there was a young man in the window. He was listening to Paul teach. He fell out the window and died. The apostle Paul had to stop his teaching and raise him from the dead. And then, you know, people probably like, oh, thank God it's over. And then Paul goes, oh, he's alive. Back to verse 17. That was Paul. Paul was just like that. But Apollos was one of them charismatic teachers. And God said, like the light that shines in the sky, it's got a prism of red, blue, and green. And each color represents the glory of the Lord. God said that you're going to rise from the red level, hallelujah, to the green level, hallelujah, to the blue level, hallelujah. And then you'll be floating in the glory of God. Ha! Yeah, that was Apollos. Apollos would rock a crowd. Ah! Women throwing earrings. Ah! But Paul says, but when you judge each of us by each other, isn't that what the world does? I like Britney Spears. Exactly. Somebody said, who? All of the world we watch, we judge by each other. And God said, that's not who I am. Because the thing you're missing that I made them all. And only I can cause your marriage to grow, your relationship to grow, your spiritual walk to grow, your joy to grow. Some of y'all are so depressed, but only God can give you the increase. I can give you a seed. I plant the seed. But only by your certain prayer coming before God, saying, Lord, this is the way I am. I'm being honest about it. He can give you increase in peace. Now, watch this. It goes on to say, go on and read. Now, this is critical. He said, who's Paul and who's Apollos? Let me tell you something. We are only God's servants. Who's Bishop Yates? We are only God's servants for whom you believed in the gospel. That's it. That's all we are. Now you got to hear this. Because you come to church and go, I'm not getting fed. Has anybody ever heard that before? Watch this. We are servants in whom you believe the gospel and did the work that the Lord gave to us. I planted a seed in your heart. Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it to grow. Next verse. Next verse. The one who plants and the one who waters work what? In the what? So you can't pick sides. Because it's not about sides, it's about purpose. Oh, if all our leaders would just get that idea. That just because someone changes doesn't mean the purpose changes. Just because someone falls doesn't mean the gospel stops. Come on, somebody. Just because someone makes a mistake doesn't mean that it's over. No, it's all about God's purpose. And his purpose is eternal. And it won't stop because of just one of us. It will roll on and on and on. Look at this. He says, the one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose. And both will be rewarded for their hard work. Good. Next verse. Seven. Seven, please. Read. Next. Next. Stop. We are God's workers, so stop dividing workers. Do you hear what I just said? As a church, we have to fight against the division of workers. Well, I like to hang out with them. I don't really deal with them. Foolishness. Well, I like them because they're so smart, and they get on my nerves. That's why God made them that way. Because you got no patience. So they're good at getting on your nerves. For we are God's workers, and you are God. You, point your finger at your face. You are God's field. Put your finger back up there. You are God's building. Everything that's being done on a Sunday is for you. On a Wednesday, you. We put classes together for you. We've got Re-Engage for marriage couples. It's for you. We've got classes for our youth vertical. It's for you. We've got classes for Beyond Limits, for Breaking Strongholds. Why? It's for you. We got Sunday morning so people could come. Why? It's for you. I want you to ask the hard question. How much more does God have to put in the field for you to grow? Because at one point, we got to answer, what did he put in the field? What did he put in your vineyard for you to grow? And you are God's building. Look at the next verse, 10. It's getting good. Hold on. Because of God's grace to me, now this is the Apostle Paul. Now, I am an apostle, so I can say this as well. Because of the grace given to me, I have laid, like, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it. Now I need you to understand. My job is to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. I win people to the Lord. That's my foundation. That's my job. It's not to tickle everybody's fancy. It's to get people saved. Okay? And I'm an expert builder at it. I can teach you how to win people to the Lord. Now, others are building on it. That means when you go home during your week, some of y'all got your favorites. David Jeremiah. Some of you like watching T.D. Jakes. Some of you like watching whomever. Or you might slide in someone else's service. Or you might go here, go there. You might listen to this or listen to that. Whatever it is, I've laid a foundation, but others can build on it. Now, at this church, I give you the chance to build on our building a foundation with the same teachings I give. But not everyone's going to do that. Look at this. But whoever is building on this foundation must be careful. This is to you as a church. Whoever you let put teaching on your foundation, you got to be careful. I am not here to tell you every preacher is good. I'm not here to tell you that every doctrine is right. That's why we set up our church, so that we have teaching, so that I can build on your foundation. But the one foundation I laid is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But if you're going to take teaching from somewhere else, be careful. Not just be careful, be. Because you can listen to a person that sounds good to you, but is it the word good to God? When I stand and preach, the only way I know my word is good is if He validates it. Now watch this. Read on. We're getting there. Verse 11. For no one can lay any other foundation than what I already have. And who is that? Listen to me. Don't let anybody tell you ain't saved. If you gave your life to Jesus Christ and you confess Him as Lord, nobody can come and rebuild on that foundation. That's it. Don't let anybody tell you, well, you're in guilt. You're just really not saved. You think you're saved. Unless you go through my teaching, you're not saved. I'm telling you, you've got to ignore those voices in the world. If you gave your life to Christ, you have been born again. You wonder why there are so many other religions out there. It's because they start out with Jesus Christ and then they end up with something crazy. I'm talking, listen, who has the best commercials in the world? Mormons. You ever watch their commercials? I mean, they're awesome. They make you, it's so pretty. But did you know? They say, the Church of Latter-day Saints of Jesus Christ, and we believe in the Holy Ghost. We believe in God and we believe in Jesus. Same name, different nature. Because their God is from Mars. Did you know that? Mormons believe that God the Father came from Mars. You think I'm kidding? Go look. Their God came from Mars and married somebody, got with a woman over in Mars, and they gave birth to a child whose name was Jesus. So we don't even know God's daddy. And we don't know His daddy's daddy. And His daddy's daddy, daddy. And His daddy's daddy, 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 daddy's daddy. Ad infinitum. We don't know. But they don't tell you that when they knock on the door with a nice bow tie. We believe what you believe. No, they don't. Your foundation may be laid in Jesus Christ, but what you build on, you got to be very careful. Jehovah Witness, some of our families grew up. My whole half of my family were Jehovah Witness, but they believed that Jesus was an angel. He wasn't the Son of God. Oh, Pastor, you supposed to talk about these people? Yes! Because if I don't tell you, you're going to fall to false religions. And then you're going to be coming to me, arguing with me. I like my peace time. It's about to get better. We're almost done, but we're going to get started. We're going to leave. We're not going to be able to finish today, but look at verse 12. Anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials. And let me stop right there. Build on what foundation? Jesus Christ, right? So there's a lot of people who came to know Christ and then they went off. What's the one that came out recently? Jesus, what's his name? It's crazy. He's like Jesus Rastafarian. Jesus ben Jesus, I think. Yahweh ben Yahweh. That's messed up so many people here in Leesburg. The whole idea of messianic Judaism has bled into the local church. Go back to the law. Go do the law. Do the feasts. Do this. Do that. Wait. Do you know what the feasts were for? They were to point to Christ. So now you're going back to the feast, thinking you can be perfected by the Old Testament when Jesus did it on the cross in the New Testament? God forbid. But that's a big movement. Many Christians are falling into it because it's wonderful. We get to do feasts. The children of Israel couldn't do it right. Why are you trying to do it right? Jesus came to set you free. Thank you. He says, now watch this. Now, each of these characters here represents somebody in this room. Every foundation you see here is golden. You can't break that. Jesus Christ, him crucified. Crucified. This is the foundation everyone received when they accepted Jesus in their life. Okay? How you build on that foundation is up to you. I want you to take that finger again. Hold it up in the air. Point at your neighbor this time, right in the face. We get so in people's faces here. Take it and point in the other side. It's up to you. It really is. Because people say, well, I'm waiting for you, preacher, to preach it. Hold on. I can't live your life for you. If you don't pick up your Bible and find out who saved you and what he can do for you, you're going to be stuck. I laid a foundation. Booyah! Now, what you going to be? Hay, wood, rubies, silver, or gold? Choose which one you want to be. My foundation is laid, and it's golden, baby. I did my job. It's golden. But every believer has to take responsibility for their walk. You can't get enough on Sunday. I can't do enough on a Sunday morning to change your life. Amen? I can say some stuff and bring change, but my God, the anger, the bitterness, the hurt. Listen, you need God all during the week. I can't stand a Sunday, God. I need more than Sunday. I need a Monday Jesus, a Tuesday Holy Ghost, a Wednesday Jesus and Holy Ghost, a Thursday Trinity, a Friday that came back twice the day. I need, come on somebody. It ain't enough to come to church on Sunday. It should not be enough for you. You've got to say it, man. Where's my Bible? Does it look like it's been written in? If that Bible has dust on it, shame on you. If you didn't write in it, shame on you. Well, I like my Bibles to be pretty. You'd be burning in hell. Ooh, hold the Bible up. Got a weird sense of humor. Okay. We're going to stop here. We'll come back to these next week. But I want you to ask yourself, which one are you? You can say you took advantage of the teaching that was here. Or you can stay like, oh, y'all know what I'm talking about. La 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 la. If I only had a brain. Da 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 da. What do you look like in the spirit? Don't ever build on that golden foundation. Hey. What do you know about Jesus? Hey. Something wrong with that. You can tell by the way it looks, the way it sounds. What you know about Jesus? Hey. Church, this should never be. You've got enough word. You got a Bible that was written by holy men. Not just men. Holy men who are in contact with the God of the universe. Who wrote the word for you. Look at your neighbor and say, hey. I love my job. Next week we'll talk about the bedazzled Christian. But I have to be serious. You didn't come to this church to sit in a pew and to get good AC. You came here to change. If you didn't, this isn't the place to be. But if you did, and you really want to change, I want you to stand to your feet. It doesn't matter who brought you this far, as long as the foundation was Jesus and Him crucified. It is for us to celebrate great men of God and their diversities, but never to focus on them. It is to remember that only a foundation that Jesus Christ was crucified according to the scriptures, buried, and a third day according to scripture rose from the dead, and He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And whoever shall believe on Him shall not perish, but shall be born again. That is the foundation that you must have. Now, what you do from there will tell you how strong you will be. No more hey Christians. Remember the verse we started with. Everybody will be tempted with I don't want to be a hate Christian when the fire comes. I got to have more substance than that. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads. Father, I ask that you would look on the church and let us get excited about the opportunities to grow in our Discovery You, Discovery We, in our Catalyst Life, in our Bible studies, in our experiencing God, in our beyond limits. Father, in our vertical youth. Father, when we gather together as men and women and we celebrate you. God, may we not look at it as a chore, but the thing that will make us the best we could ever be. I pray, God, that you would forgive us. That we took the foundation and said, that's enough. I'm saved, and that's enough. But we have not grown on our foundation. Let our marriages grow. Let our children grow. Let our men and women grow so that we can be a world changer. Let us find unity and not disunity so that we can see the presence of God exploding over their lives. I thank you. Now, while your eyes are still closed, I want to encourage you. If you have not given Jesus Christ your heart, for Him to make a sure foundation for you out of gold, I want to give you a chance to be born again. to say, you know what? I'm not worried about who's on the left of me or who's on the right of me. All I want is what he has to offer, and this is what he has to offer. If you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he will take the very worst sins in your life and wash them away. And he will restore your walk with God and empower you to walk with him and in righteousness. Those sins and habits you couldn't overcome, he will give you the power to overcome those and to do great exploits in his name. If you're here today and you have not yet received the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, as your Savior, the one who can help you in your life, I'm going to count to three, and then I'm going to ask that you raise your hand and say, I want to receive him today. Son, daughter, this is you. Man, woman, this speaks to you. And I'm going to count to three, and then I want you to slip your hands in the air. One, two, three. Slip your hands in the air if you want to be saved. Right now, all across the building, put your hand in the air. That's you. I see you. I see you. Is there another one? Let today be the day that he comes in your heart. Don't fight him. Let him in. Behold, I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. Whosoever would let me in, I'll come in and I'll sup with you. Let him in. Is there another? Is there another? Put your hands down. If there's someone in this church that says, you know what, I've been looking for a church home, a place to call my own, I want to invite you to be part of Frontier Church and invite you to be part of this fellowship where we do things together and we walk out our faith together. If that's you, would you slip your hand in the air and say, I want to be a part of Frontier. I see you over here, ma'am. Is there another? Is there another? I see you in the back, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you. Is there another? Is there anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. All right, put your hands down. If you raised your hand either to be born again or to join Frontier Church for the very first time, I want you to come out of your seat and meet me right here at the front. Come on, let's give them a hand.